All right, Matthew chapter 5. Our text this morning is verse 8, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, you remember the word blessed that our Lord uses here in the Beatitudes means supremely blessed, supremely happy. And in the Beatitudes, our Lord's not telling us how to be saved. Salvation comes not from what we do. Salvation comes by faith in Christ. And the Lord is not telling us how to live here. He's not telling us that we have to produce this pure heart in order to be saved. He's not telling us what a believer ought to be as we live in this life. He's telling us what the believer already is by God's grace. This is what God has made his people to be. Now, the word pure the Savior uses here, it means to be free from sin. It means to be blameless and innocent. And it also means to be free from sinful desires. So the Lord's not teaching us that we have to have and produce this pure heart in order to see the Lord. What he's telling us is, this is the heart. This pure heart is the heart that God gives all of his people when he saves them. And it's a good thing that God gives this heart to his people, because none of us have a clean heart. And none of us can produce a clean heart. You know, on the surface, it would seem like this verse stops me from ever having any hope of seeing God. If I have to be pure in heart to see God, I'll never see him. Because our heart is the opposite of pure. Job said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean?" Not one. Look back at Genesis chapter 5. Here's the description of our heart, of our nature. And it's always been this way. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now that's our heart. Our heart by nature, it's only evil continually. And you know, the wickedness of that natural heart grieves God's heart. Look at verse 6. "And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." The wickedness of our natural heart, the impurity of it, grieves God's heart. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Here's another description of our heart by nature. I'm going to look at a few scriptures here so we see that there's no hope in our heart by nature. There's no hope in us producing a pure, clean heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, our heart's not pure at all, is it? And Scripture doesn't even say it's wicked. It's desperately wicked. Oh, it's so wicked. And this heart, our natural heart, is so deceitful, it'll make us think that we're pure. It's desperately wicked. Now look at Matthew chapter 15. God cannot, will not accept us as we are with this natural heart, because this natural heart of ours defiles our whole being. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17. "Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come forth from? From the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." You know, we don't make ourselves sinners by what we do. This is what the Lord's telling us. We don't make ourselves sinners by what we do. We came that way. We came as sinners. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. We don't make ourselves sinners by what we eat or what we drink. The old Jews, they didn't make themselves a sinner by eating pork. They didn't defile their heart by eating pork. And whatever you want to call them today, the moral majority, the religious people, can't defile themselves, make their heart impure by drinking a beer either. It's not by what we eat or what we drink. And it's not our external environment. It's not like, well, if I just quit hanging around with the wrong crowd, I wouldn't sin as much. You know, if I could just cut off all contact with this sinful world, I wouldn't sin as much. Oh, yes, I would. Yes, I would too. Because sin is in us. We take sin with us everywhere we go because sin is what we are. And that sin comes out of us and defiling everything around us. Now that's our heart. But what God requires is a pure heart, a sinless heart, a sinless nature. God doesn't require an outward veneer of religion that might impress other men. God requires a pure heart, a pure nature. Well, who has such a heart? Who has a pure, clean heart? Well, look back at Psalm 24 and I'll show you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the only person with a pure heart. Psalm 24, verse 3. David says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Now those verses, you know this, can only be talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only possible person they can be talking about. He has clean hands and a pure heart. Everything He did was holy and clean because His nature is holy and clean. He never one time lifted up His soul to vanity. And that word vanity David uses there has to do with idolatry. The Lord Jesus never lifted up His soul to idolatry. Always trusted the Father perfectly. He never swore deceitfully. He never said anything that was deceitful. There was no guile in His tongue. So the only man who has a clean heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. He makes all of His people clean in Him. Look at verse 6 here, Psalm 24. This is the generation or the description of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, or O God of Jacob. Now this is the description of those that seek the God of Jacob. Somebody else has a clean heart too. And I can tell you who they are. They're everybody who's in Christ. They're everybody who is seeking to be found in Him. They're everyone who is seeking righteousness in Him. This is the description of them too. They have a pure heart. Because that's what Christ has made them to be. They are what Christ is because they're in Him. All right, now look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel's going to tell us, how is it that those people who believe Christ can have a clean heart? We know it can't be our natural heart. We know that natural heart cannot be cleansed. So how is it that those people that believe Christ can have a clean heart? Well, here it is. It's because God gives them a clean heart. He gives them a new heart, a second heart in the new birth. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness." See, now God gives everybody He saves a new heart, a new, pure, sinless heart. Now, salvation is not fixing up our old heart, our old nature. Salvation is not changing our old bad habits, our old external bad habits. Salvation is not to quit sinning as much as we used to sin. Salvation is not God teaching that old heart some spiritual truth. Salvation is not God giving life or some light that to that our old, cold, dead heart. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
It's dead and it's sinful. It'll never be anything but dead, sinful flesh. Salvation is not God changing that old heart. Salvation is God giving us a new heart in the new birth. Ezekiel told us God promised to do it. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us how God does it. How is it that God gives us this new heart? It's in the new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now, how am I going to get that pure heart? Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, that's how we receive a pure heart. It's in the new birth when God gives a new heart. And he does it through the preaching of his word. He does it through the preaching of the word because God's word is holy and sinless. And it can only produce something that's holy and sinless. Through the preaching of the word, God plants that seed and gives life and gives a new heart. And that new heart is free. It's pure. Remember the definition of pure? Is to be free from sin. Is to be blameless and innocent. That new heart that God gives, he doesn't give us a clean slate and say, okay, now you're innocent, it's clean, and you got to keep it that way. Because we couldn't keep it that way, could we? The new heart is a new nature that's also free from sinful desires. That's the definition of this word pure, remember? It's free from sinful desires. The new heart God gives can never sin because it's pure. And it will always be pure. That new heart that God gives is a heart just like the heart of Christ the Savior. Look across the page there, the page over, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now that is the heart of Christ the Savior. It's pure. He did no sin, no guile was found in his mouth, because his heart was pure. And, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, his mouth spoke no guile, because his heart had no guile. He did no sin, because his heart had no sin. All right, now look at chapter 3, verse 10. Here's the heart God gives his people. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now this is the description of a believer. It's not something somebody might do. This is the description of the heart of every believer. That new man refrains his tongue from evil. He speaks no guile because he's got a pure heart. You know, refraining our tongue from evil, this is what that is. It's not that we never say, you know, an evil word or say something we ought not say. It's refraining our tongue from evil is not saying anything contrary to the gospel. It's not saying something contrary to Christ's glory in salvation. That new man can't say anything contrary to the gospel because he believes it purely. And his tongue speaks no guile. This is a sincere heart. That new man speaks no guile. He may have no hypocrisy about him. I'm a sinner. And the only hope I have of salvation is God's grace in Christ Jesus. That's a sincere, true, honest heart. Rolf used to say, honest men don't go to hell. This is an honest, true heart. I've got no hope but Christ alone. I've got no hope but salvation by grace. I'm not looking for grace plus my works mixed into it to make it better. I'm looking for, I need pure, unadulterated grace from God. That's the tongue that speaks no guile. It's a sincere heart. Not talking about a cooperative effort between me and Jesus. No, salvation is in and by and through Christ alone. That's the way a pure heart speaks. And every believer has that pure heart. All right, here's a paradox for you. Anybody who has a pure heart sees themselves as a sinner. Anybody that's got a pure heart doesn't see himself as sinless and holy. Anybody that's got a pure heart says, I'm a sinner. Everything I see about myself is sin. Somebody that's got a pure, sinless heart says, all I see about myself is sin. A person who says, I don't sin as much as I used to. Or I've got a pure heart, so I don't sin as much as other people. That person's lying. And, you know, I really believe they think they're telling, at least some of them believe they're telling the truth. But you know why they believe they're telling the truth? That deceitful heart. It's deceived. It's desperately wicked. And it's deceived them into thinking that. But somebody that's got a pure heart, you know what he sees about himself? Sin. Look back at Romans chapter 7. I'll show you this. Romans chapter 7. Beginning in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do it. For what I would, that do I not. I want to do good, but I can't. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. That new man, he wills to be perfect and holy. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do something that's pure and sinless. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. After that new man, he delights in the law of God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now this is the way a man's got a pure heart speaks. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that's the way a man with a pure heart speaks. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's only one way. I thank God it's through Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the way the person with a pure heart speaks. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here, we're going to see a pure heart in action. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, love out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. A pure heart loves God, and a pure heart loves others. And that love, love always acts. True love always acts. If it doesn't act, it's not love. Love is put into action to worship God. And that love is put into action to help others. And it's done in a good conscience, Paul says. It's not done trying to make up for past sin. It's not done trying to, you know, earn a better favor or position with God. It's done out of a good conscience. A love for God, love for one another. And that love and that faith is unfeigned. You can't fake it. You just can't fake love. You can't fake faith. It is the real McCoy because it comes from a pure heart. And every believer will say this, now I love God. I believe God. That it's the real McCoy. It's not as strong as I wish it was, but it is the real thing. It comes from a pure heart. And that pure heart, that can't come from our nature. That cannot be something that we produce. If God has saved us, He's given us that new heart. God put it in us. And our Lord says, here's the blessing that comes from this. If God's put this pure heart in you, here's the blessing. Those people shall see God. They're going to see God. Now that word see means to understand. It means to perceive. And it also means to appear. Now why does a believer understand Christ? Why does someone who is a believer, how is it they understand how God saves sinners? Now, I understand that. I do. You do too. You understand how God saves sinners. Well, why is it you understand that and somebody else doesn't? It's because God's appeared to you. Remember what the scripture talked about the Lord after His resurrection? It says He appeared to His disciples. That word appeared is the exact same word see in our text. It just translated two different words. The disciples, they saw. Now they understood the scriptures. Why? Because Christ appeared. He appeared to them and they saw. And if God's given you a new heart, you see. You see these things. You see that they're true. You perceive that they are true. It's because Christ appeared to you. That's the only reason you see. It's because Christ appeared to you. You used to be blind. You used to not be able to see these things, but now you do. Because Christ has appeared. And there's so many things a believer sees. You see how God can save a sinner like you and still be God. He'd still be holy and just because He punished your sin in your substitute. It's God. If God's given you a pure heart, you believe Christ. You just can't not believe Him because God's given you a pure heart. Now look back at John chapter 3. If God's given you that new heart, it's because He's caused you to be born again, and that is the only way we can ever see Christ. It's the only way we can ever see God and see God's kingdom is if God causes us to be born again with this new heart that sees. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, the only way to see God and see God's kingdom is to be born again with this pure heart. And God has to give that heart. We can't make it up. God has to give it because it's a spiritual heart. It's not a fleshly heart. It's a spiritual heart. Read on, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, all he can, the only plane Nicodemus can think on at this time is a fleshly plane. And this heart's not a fleshly heart. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You've got to be born again with a new spiritual heart from above, a heart that only the Holy Spirit can give. This new birth comes from a supernatural birth of God, sovereignly given by God the Holy Spirit, to whom He will, when He will. That's what the Lord says in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Everyone who's born of the Spirit is sovereignly born of God the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Word. It's just like the wind. You don't know when it's coming, and suddenly it comes, and there it goes. You can't control it, can you? That's God the Holy Spirit. He comes in the preaching of the gospel, and you may have heard the gospel hundreds and hundreds of times.
suddenly you see.
You may be listening to the gospel for the first time ever in your life, and you see. Well, why is it you've seen somebody else doing?
God, the Holy Spirit,
sovereignly comes to whom He will, when He will, and gives them life, gives them this pure heart. Now, just like poor old Nicodemus, the natural mind cannot comprehend these things. How can these things be, Nicodemus said. The only way anybody can ever understand these things is if God reveals them to us. God's got to give us a new heart. And I tell you how He does it. I've told you before, I'm going to say it again and show you what this is what our Lord says right here. He does it through preaching. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. I've told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? See, these things must be revealed, and they're going to be revealed through the preaching of the gospel. And this is the message that God uses to give this salvation, to give this new heart. It's the preaching of Christ. Verse 13, our Lord says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that's the gospel. And he that believes it, he that believes on Christ, he's not condemned, because Christ is life. And this person who has a new heart, who's been born again, born of the Holy Spirit, they see. If you've been born of God, you see that. You see that all of this, all of salvation, all of life is Christ. You see that because you see Christ. The person who's been blessed with this new heart sees Christ everywhere. You just can't help it. You see Christ everywhere. You see Christ in the Word. You see Him revealed in the Word, that it's all written of Him, because you see Christ. God's given you the heart that sees. You see Christ in history. I was going to say you see how all the events of history, but maybe not all of them, but we at least part of all of the events of history, we've seen how God has worked all these things together to accomplish His purpose, for His glory and the good of His purpose. And even if I don't see what God's purpose is in this, I do know this. God's directed it all. Now, I don't know how what outcome He's going to produce from it, but I do know this. It happened because it's God's purpose. And people who see Christ, we don't just see Him in history. We see Him in our lives right now. Right now. Somebody who sees, they understand that everything that happens to me happens because God ordained it to happen from all of eternity. Everything that happens to me is good. Everything. Even when it's painful to the flesh, everything that happens to me is good. You know, those things that are painful to the flesh, God's going to use them to teach us. He's going to use them to teach us more of Christ. He's going to use them to teach us more of our weakness so we depend more upon Him. He's going to use those things when He puts us on our back so that we're helpless. He's going to teach us this. He's going to teach us more of God's faithfulness to His people. We may be on our back. We may be helpless. We may feel like we've reached the end of our rope, but God's faithful to His people. God's given you a new heart. You see that. Here's something else that people see. If God's given them a new heart, they see Christ in others. They see faith. and love and sincerity in others, even when we can't see it in ourselves. When we look at ourselves, all we see is sin and weakness and depravity. But when others look at you, they see faith. They see love. They see Christ there. Now, one more scripture, Hebrews chapter 9. This sums all this up. Our Lord says the person who has this pure heart is blessed. They are supremely happy. They shall see God. And one day, those people who see, right now they see by faith. One day they're going to see the Lord face to face. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that word appear is see. It's translated in our text. When Christ appears, we shall see him. And when we see him, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now that person is supremely blessed and supremely happy, aren't they? That one day we're going to see the Savior face to face. Lord bless you.